We've just heard a graphic description of Jesus' suffering and death as it is told in the Gospel of John. How he was mocked, beaten, forced to carry his cross through the streets of Jerusalem, subjected to one of the most brutal forms of capital punishment, and how, after many hours of this, he died. As I thought about our reading St. John's Passion today, and what it always feels like to me just moments after, I was reminded of time that I spent before I was ordained. For a year, I worked as a chaplain in three Chicago hospitals. And during that time, I sat with many families receiving the news of a loved one's passing. In our training, we were cautioned not to rush in with statements like, "They're in a better place," or "They're with God now." For someone who has just lost someone, it is hard to imagine a better place than having that person there with them. Our job in those moments was not to say things that would take away the pain. It was not to look for a silver lining. It was to help people be present to their own grief and suffering. As I would come to find out, most often this came through saying very little and sometimes nothing at all, but being available and attentive to the details, like making sure there was water and Kleenex, helping get a hold of family members who weren't there, giving assurance that the tears were okay, flagging down hospital staff, arranging for the family to have the room a little longer. Sometimes I was asked to offer prayers, but mostly my job was to create a space for mourning. It was a ministry through presence more than words. On Good Friday, we find ourselves in a tension. It feels like something should be said. It feels like nothing should be said. It's hard to imagine that our words could make the crucifixion understandable. And yet, faced with the events of Christ's passion and death, we cannot help but ask, why did this happen? This is not unlike the experience we have when people we love die. When this happens, we find ourselves faced with many questions, and we try our best to seek answers to them. We want to know why it happened. We play out scenarios in our mind, wondering what would have happened if we or others would have done something different. Would that person be alive? With the death of Christ, we wonder why Jesus stayed in Jerusalem and why he didn't object to those accusations at his trial. Why those who marched with him on Palm Sunday didn't speak in his defense. We might ask why God would allow him to suffer in this way. We may question whether Jesus' death was a necessary part of a divine plan, or if it was not God's desire, but the result of free will, the destruction of which we see on a daily basis. Perhaps we have wondered if the plan all along was for Jesus to suffer, die, and rise again, or if this tragedy happened and then God redeemed it through the resurrection. These are hard questions. And though there are prevailing theologies, we need to remember that there isn't just one way of looking at these events. Even the four gospel authors give a somewhat different take on what happened and why, each seeking to see meaning in the death of their beloved master, each arriving at slightly different conclusions. Yet while there are different accounts and explanations, it doesn't mean that they're less credible or less true. Episcopal priest Barbara Brown Taylor has said that by including all four versions, the early shapers of the gospel sent to us a message that there is more than one way to view what happened on the cross, and all of them are right. She says their very disagreement preserves the mystery of what happened. We try to make sense of it, just like Jesus' followers before us, seeking answers to these questions for ourselves may in fact be part of our grieving process as well as our faith journey. But perhaps now is not the time to try and make sense of things or to process them intellectually. Now is a time to sit in stillness and let our questions hang in the air and let ourselves feel what has happened. As Jesus cried out in the Gospels of Mark and Matthew, to receive no answer, this day is not about receiving answers or consolation for that matter. In our service, there is no communion, no candle lit to acknowledge Christ's presence. We know there will be a time to preach the resurrection, but not today. Today we are the people who have just lost someone so very dear to us. And we will come forward to bring our sadness to the foot of the cross. As we mourn for Jesus, we also cry out for a world in pain, for all the losses, personal and global, brought forward by this day. As with people who have just lost someone close to them, one of the hardest parts is realizing that someone who knew us and loved us, unlike anyone else in the world, is gone. Jesus is such a person. Who else knew us in this way? Who else welcomed us and loved us like he did? Now is a time to let ourselves mourn the man we have lost. We should not move away too soon from our sorrow. In a world that is so intent on picking up and moving on, we will take the time we need for our tears, for our silence. Today, we are the bereaved. Let us be present to our own grief and suffering. A man who meant the world to us is gone.